The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord. From the second reading for today, we hear this: "Let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices." And then later in the same reading, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." Our tradition has a doctrine of the priesthood of all believers, of the baptized. But for some centuries, this doctrine was put up in the attic somewhere and collected dust. For that reason, if you were an adult in the Roman Catholic Church before Vatican II, you may not have even heard of the priesthood of all believers. At Vatican II, scholarship and research were used to compare church practice of the mid-20th century to various periods in the church, going all the way to the early church. In this process, we recovered, among other things, the doctrine of the priesthood of all believers. And notice that doctrine agrees with what St. Peter seems to be saying in that second reading. The reason for that is because the original doctrine was formulated through this particular scripture and others like it. When we baptize a person in the church today, there is a point in the ceremony where the person is anointed with chrism oil as a priest, prophet, and king. Let me read now a quote from one of the documents of the Second Vatican Council that showed the thinking behind this. "Christ the Lord, the high priest taken from among us, made the new people a kingdom and priests to God our Father. By rebirth and anointing of the Holy Spirit, the baptized are consecrated as a spiritual house and a holy priesthood, so that through all the works proper to Christians, they may offer spiritual sacrifices and proclaim the power of him who has called them out of darkness into his own wondrous light. Therefore, all the disciples of Christ, persevering in prayer and praising God, should present themselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Everywhere on earth, they should bear witness to Christ and give answer to those who seek an account of that hope of eternal life which is in them." It continues, "Though they differ from one another in essence and not only in degree, the universal priesthood of believers and the ministerial or hierarchic priesthood are nonetheless interrelated. Each of them, in its own special way, is a sharing in the one priesthood of Christ. The ministerial priest, by the sacred power he possesses, builds up and guides the priestly people, acting in the person of Christ. He makes present the Eucharistic sacrifice and offers it to God in the name of all the people. The faithful, on their part, in virtue of their royal priesthood, join in the offering of the Eucharist. They likewise exercise that priesthood in receiving the sacraments, in prayer and thanksgiving, in the witness of a holy life, and in self-denial and active charity. You know, the definition of a priest is one who offers sacrifice. That definition is applicable to any religion, really. Any religion where there is an offering of sacrifice, they call the person who does that a priest. You and I offer the sacrifice of the Mass together, but we are also called to offer our lives as a sacrifice to God. And this is done by how we live our lives. And the manner in which it is done is determined by the roles that we play. My purview, my area, is the church. I offer the sacrifice at Mass, and you participate in that. Your purview, your area, is the world. The sacrifice you offer is that of your own lives in the world, in your families, in your neighborhoods, in the organizations that you belong to, and in the work that you do. We exercise our priesthood when we make the focus of our lives on the well-being of others rather than only on ourselves. And, of course, this is not so easily done. In fact, we can't do this on our own. Human nature was wounded by original sin. Not destroyed, but wounded, so that we cannot do the good that we're supposed to do. God has to be the one who does good through us, using us as his instruments. This is brought out by the gospel where Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So, we must hold tightly on to him if we want to live in the way that he asks. Now, there is a part of the Mass that speaks to this, believe it or not. It is the part where gifts of bread, wine, and the collection are brought forth. In the early church, the symbolism here was much easier to see. That's because the bread and wine that were used in the Mass were brought from your own homes. The vast majority of households back then made their own bread nearly every day and their own wine. So, a collection was taken up, just as it is today, and then all of these things were brought forward in procession, as we still do today. But back then, because you made the bread and wine that were being brought forward, it was not so hard to see that what was being brought forward is symbolic of you, your work, your everyday activity. And then during the consecration, those things that symbolize you, the bread and wine, were transformed into the body and blood of Christ. So it was not so hard to believe that you were also being, in some way, transformed because your everyday work was sitting on the altar and being literally transformed. But of course, it wasn't the sort of transformation that happens all at once. It was cumulative. Sunday after Sunday, Christ was turning you into his instrument, and you were being made into the person that you were created to be. But unlike the Eucharist, it was more gradual change that was hardly even noticeable but for the passage of time. And of course, sin was also in the mix, so that it's sometimes two steps forward, one step back. But make no mistake, transformation is happening. This person, in the process of being transformed, then goes back to their daily activity with Christ literally as part of them. Christ is now in them. They are walking tabernacles. So naturally, they bring Christ to every area of their life and begin to transform those areas as well. Maybe they don't even realize it sometimes. Yes, even your workplace, even your bridge club. Why? Because the pattern of sacrifice has been stamped into your life and is growing deeper. It can't help but affect those around you. So I would like to end with a quote from Archbishop Oscar Romero, who became Archbishop of El Salvador at a very turbulent time in the 1970s. The people were trying to resist against their military government due to a number of issues going on at the time. In retaliation, the government began sending out death squads that killed the leaders of this uprising and warned their families to leave their bodies in the streets to rot so as to serve as a warning to others. The Salvadoran government welcomed the Vatican's appointment of Archbishop Oscar Romero because he was so bookish and shy, and they couldn't imagine him getting in their way. But this quiet, intellectual man began to proclaim the gospel boldly at the sin that was being done. In the end, the government killed him while he was saying Mass. This quote is from one of his later homilies, which was broadcast by radio to the whole country. And back then, radio was the thing, right? They didn't have a lot of TVs in El Salvador. Everybody had a radio, though. So this is what the Archbishop said toward the end of his life. "How beautiful will be the day when all the baptized understand that their work, their job, is a priestly work. That just as I celebrate Mass at this altar, so each carpenter celebrates Mass at his workbench, and each metal worker, each professional, each doctor with the scalpel, the market woman at her stand, are performing a priestly office. How many cab drivers I know listen to this message there in your cabs? You are a priest at the wheel, my friend, if you work with honesty, consecrating that taxi of yours to God, bearing a message of peace and love to the passengers who ride in your cab."